Please do take a pew. Let's just bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we gather around your word this morning, we pray that you might speak into each of our hearts and our minds, and that we might be Christians of action and words. And may I speak into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I apologise at the very beginning, any of you are doing dry January. Might not be the scripture you wanted to hear this morning. Anyway, we're halfway through the month. So I don't know how many of you have been to a wedding recently where the wine ran out. Not many, I guess. And I suppose even if it did run out, you'd be at a hotel or a venue where you'd be able to easily go and fetch some. It wasn't quite so easy in Cana in Galilee to estimate exactly how much wine would be needed for such an event as a celebration of a wedding. So a wedding was a massive big deal. It's still a big deal today, but it was a massive big deal in Cana in Galilee, because weddings usually last here a day and go on into the evening. In Cana in Galilee, they last a bit longer than that. So they go from Wednesday, because that was the law, the Jewish law that people, or still is, get married on a Wednesday, and then they go Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and obviously they have to stop on a Friday evening at sunset because it's the Sabbath. It's all right, you can speak in church, your eternal salvation will be quite safe. So the Sabbath is, so they all had to stop for the Sabbath, and then they'd start again. So it was quite a big old deal, and therefore it was quite difficult to estimate, I should think, how much you exactly needed. And to run out of food or wine in a Jewish household at a wedding or any celebration would be immense disgrace on that family. Immense disgrace. Hospitality is the Jewish way of life and being, and we would learn a lot from that. Everything revolves around food. Everything revolves around enabling one another with a chicken soup or a casserole of some type. So it's very important that we understand that culture, and sometimes it's difficult for us when we speak out of a different culture. But Jewish culture is all about hospitality and care of individuals through hospitality. It's bereavement, for instance. Anybody who is bereaved as a Jewish person would not be expected to look after their family for at least 6 weeks. So even now, today, food would be delivered to them. People would come and help clean their homes. They would still tear their garments to show that they were distressed. And we could learn a lot from that as well. Lots of people are usually very interested just around the funeral, and perhaps they manage to remember for a couple of weeks afterwards, but as the time goes on, it becomes less and less. So we learn a lot, and we could take a lot from their culture to enable one another. And in a place in Cana of Galilee, tremendous poverty. And as I think I've preached here before, for you to understand that one in every four Jewish people at that time would have been a slave. So this is quite remarkable. A wedding was a great relief. It was a great celebration that people could forget for a tiny bit of the terrible oppression and suffering that they overcame. And they were able to celebrate in this wedding. Now, in this particular wedding in Cana in Galilee, all the wine runs out. A massive, massive disaster. And we're told what happens here, but there's a few things that could have happened. So if the wine had run out, Mary, who was obviously very influential here, probably a great friend of the family, because she knew that the wine had run out. There'd be no other reason that she would know that the wine had run out unless she was very close to the host. So somebody must have told her, because women would not be involved in any of that. So she must have known by being told by somebody close in that family. And Jesus was there with his disciples, we are told, at this party. And Mary goes to Jesus and says, you know, what are we going to do? We need you to help us. And Jesus says, I'm not doing that. I haven't, but it's not my time. So Jesus was still preparing his disciples. He was still preparing the way that he needed to go. Now, we all know, because we all know what happens in the 3 years. These disciples did not. And so Jesus was preparing, and he wasn't quite ready. He didn't feel it was quite right. But Jesus' mother just ignored that, which I think is wonderful, don't you? All of us who are mothers, have you had that experience when your children say something and you say, darling, it's actually, you've misunderstood. It's not for debate. This is what we're doing. Anybody done that? Is it just me? Oh, good. So this was one of those situations which shows you it's a real family, doesn't it? And so she turns to the servants and says to the servants, do what he asks. And he thinks, okay. And he just gets on with it. Now, the servants there, can you imagine their faces? Now, you've got all these gallons and gallons and gallons and gallons of jars that are used for purification that need to be filled with water. So he says to the servants, fill these with water. Now, you can imagine what these servants must be thinking at this point, can't you? He's lost the plot. We need wine, we don't need water. Anyway, they do, because they're servants, so they do exactly what they're told, and they fill all these jars, gallons and gallons and gallons, full of water. And then they did something quite remarkable. He put a glass in, or like a chalice, I guess, a big goblet, and said, take this to the wine steward. Now, the servants, too, must have thought, well, I'm taking the wine steward here water. Because they must have thought, what am I going to do when I get there? And they realised that this is water. Anyway, he did it, and he took it, and obviously it was the most amazing wine. And in Jewish custom, they usually serve the, as we read this morning, the great wine, the good wine, the most expensive wine first, before people have had a chance to really drink too much. And so they have an appreciation of the best. And when people have had enough to drink, they give them the stuff that's a bit cheaper. You probably do that yourselves at parties, I don't know. But anyway, it's a good tip if you're thinking of having a party. So, but on this particular occasion, they serve the most expensive, the most fantastic wine right at the very end. And they still continue to have a really good time. Now, Mary could have done a few things here, because she knew before anybody else did. And you can imagine all the rumbles that are going. Anybody been to a wedding where nothing has ever gone wrong? Anybody? No. I always used to say, when I was preparing people for weddings, I've never been to a wedding yet, and I had 16 parishes, mine, so I did a lot of weddings. I've never been to a wedding yet where nothing goes wrong. And they always look at me, you know, well, ours will be different. It never was. I've been to weddings where the cake collapses. Anybody been to one of them? Yeah. I've been to the wedding where the bride gets ink on her dress. Anybody been to one of them? Yeah. I've been to weddings where families don't talk to one another and there's a bit of a row that breaks up. Have you had any of that? Yeah. I've been to a wedding where somebody actually got physically hit. So nothing actually always goes, which is great, isn't it? Because that helps you to remember. And we don't live in a perfect world, and we shouldn't try to create perfectness. We just need to be ordinary, don't we, in so much of what we do. I've forgotten what I was going to say. I might as well put this away, because I'm not actually looking at it. So what could have happened here is that Mary could have said to some of the neighbours, because she knew all the neighbours, can you go and get some of your wine? That would have been an idea, wouldn't it? It might be of what I'd have done. But no, she didn't do that at all. she went to Jesus first and foremost, and he was able to deal with the situation, even though he wasn't very keen. And I think sometimes in our own lives, in our own difficulties and in our own messes, and we all have some of those, that we tend to look to our own resources most of the time. We tend to think, how can I sort this out? Or how can so-and-so come and help me sort this out? And actually, Jesus is the last person we often go to. And in this particular story, I think it's really important that we recognise Jesus was the first person that Mary went to. The very first person. I don't mean that we shouldn't use our resources. Of course we should. That's very important. But we should also go to Christ the very first time that we have quite a problem. And we need to learn and take that away from us, from this reading this morning, to each of us in the situations that we face. And the next time we come to a situation, anybody who's more than 3 years of old sat here knows that life is not one gallop to one fantastic moment to the next. There's all sorts of problems and pains and difficulties that come along. I love the fact that when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he did not bring out a tambourine or flash a cheesy smile. He wept and he ached and he cried. And we need to just sometimes be a bit real with ourselves and with one another. And the person that we go to first should be Christ, as Mary went to Christ. The other thing I think that's very important in this, it was very ordinary. This was ordinary water made into wine, which made it extraordinary. And Jesus takes the ordinariness of each of us, all the things that we have, our gifts, our talents, and our skills, and enables them to be extraordinary, so that others can see the glory of Christ and we can be reminded of the light of Christ in our own lives and hearts and minds. And in this Epiphany season, when we are reminded about light and about Jesus revealing his glory in an amazing way to those visitors from the East and enabling them to see Christ's glory, and opening up a new way for those three people. And they're so important that we have a season particularly for them called Epiphany, which we are in this morning. Beautiful candles over here enable us to help us to remember that. And it's the light of Christ that goes with us in the ordinariness of our everyday lives to make it extraordinary. And we can take that away from this passage as well. The other thing I think that we need to understand is that Jesus likes a party. Now, I must have said this because I say it every time I preach, that we don't party enough. We really do not know how to party. Let me tell you, Jesus did. He partied really well. And we need to remember that it's not all about thou shalt not. It's more about how God's love can enable and inspire in each of us to be able to go out into the world and reflect that light to the people that we meet. It's great and very important that we meet every single week to pray, to worship, to gather around God's word. And that enables us to be encouraged in our faith to be able to take it out. If what we do here means that it stays here, that isn't what we're supposed to be doing. We are supposed to be able to reflect that light in everything that we do. Now, of course, we make mistakes, and of course, we mess up, and of course, we get it wrong, and of course, we miss opportunities. But just pray for the next one. Don't give up because you've messed up once. Just try and try again. I was in a car park a few weeks ago, and they hadn't paid for their car. Have I told you this one? Car parking? No, good. So I forget what I've said where. So I think I've preached, 28 times in, over between Christmas and now. So I do forget. So anyway, if I've repeated myself, I'm so sorry. But I think it's good to hear. So lovely young family came to park their car, get their car out of the car park. And if you ever tried to get your car park out of the Crawley car park, anybody tried to do that? You need a degree, let me tell you. It's quite odd. So anyway, so they couldn't, for various reasons, nothing was working. And so I happened to have the right amount of cash in my purse, so I paid for their car parking. And, you know, they were overcome. They could not believe that I had paid £5 for their car parking. And they couldn't stop thanking, and I said, it's fine, it's not a problem at all. And I said, what would be lovely is the next time you see somebody in any type of distress or trouble, that you go to their aid. You go to their aid immediately without thinking. And the father said to me, we will do that. And I think that's what we need to learn from this, that when we see someone in trouble, that we can help. We need to go to their aid immediately, and then we can perhaps find others that need to be able to help. Now, Mary went to Jesus, and she was able to help this family, because this family, it would have been an immense disgrace. It's very difficult for us to understand, because it's not part of our culture, because we wouldn't mind if somebody ran out of wine. We would sort of understand and would help. Here, it would be a dreadful slur on this family for the whole of their days. So that's why Jesus acted. He acted out of compassion. He acted out of a sense of wanting to enable this family not to be seen in a poor light within their community. That's why Jesus acted. And you can imagine, I don't know how long they parted for here, we're not told. But usually it was till the following Wednesday. With this amount of wine, they could have gone on for a month. But I'm sure the everyday chores that they needed to do would have probably prevented that. But they continued to party. And this couple would have been led the longest way. It still happens today. If you've never been to a Jewish wedding and you have an opportunity, please go. It is just an amazing occasion. And they lead the couple over, they hold the canopy over them, and they lead them the longest way round the town so that everybody has a chance of seeing them. And they lead them back to their home. That happens just before sunset on the Sabbath. And then when the Sabbath is over, they go and get them again, and the party starts all over. So you think our weddings might be long and hard work, and some people think, oh, why have we got a party in an evening? Remind them about what the Jewish people do, all right? That nobody, no father or mother needs to complain about a day in an evening. If they were Jews, they'd be going on for a week. So go to Jesus the first time that you have a concern or a need. And we've had quite a week this week, haven't we? Yeah, we need to go to Jesus about that. Let me tell you, next week's not looking a lot better. So we need to carry on and pray as much as we can for everything that's happening in our world and for those in positions of power and responsibility and authority. We need to pray for them considerably every day, I would suggest. And for our own needs, and for our families, and for our church, and our community. And we need to have an understanding between us that we want God's glory to be seen in Horsham or wherever it is you hang out. And that as we come here and encourage one another, we go out. And remember to party, and remember to celebrate in everything that we do. Look joyful. Be joyful and enable. Go to people's rescue rather than allowing them to struggle. Amen.